What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Over Greggy Show. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Shingles Couldn't Kill Him, your champ and mine, Nick Scarpino. There you go.
Great to be back, everyone. Great to be back.
How you feeling?
I feel great.
You've been back a while, I think.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You got a thing going on with your hair right now, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that on purpose?
Fun thing. I like it.
It's fun. Yeah, it looks like it's like a faux hockey thing.
There's like this.
Yeah, no. You got like this thing there. Yeah.
No, I've just been burning my hands through it haphazardly, as it were. And you get what you get with this.
You get what you get with it, for sure.
It's my hair has it. It's not like this guy's hair that has like. Literally,
you mean Krypton's own Cameron Cuff?
Yeah, I just wanted to get How's everyone doing? He's got such a thick head of hair that he's probably one of those guys that when he goes to get it cut, his stylist and/or barber's like, "Do you want to thin it out a little bit?" And he's like, "Yeah, just thin it out a little bit," because I get hot. You probably sweat because it's so thick.
Yeah. And me, when there's stuff. Product in it, you can use it as a helmet.
Yeah.
It's great. Really? Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. I know that well.
Oh, you mean over there? Shitbag Tim Gass. What? I needed to go somewhere.
I got sunburned a couple weeks ago.
Wow. What did you do?
When we were shooting the thing that nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
The next show that we're doing. And I got sunburned on specifically my forehead, and it just hasn't healed. And my forehead just keeps peeling. So everywhere I go, I just keep getting, it looks like dandruff, but it's from my face.
What? Where are your people from that they don't have access to the sun? Are they mole people? Are you a mole person?
I'm a mole person. That is a fact.
Because every time you step out into the sun, you fry.
I think it's just,
it's been weeks though.
It's proof climate change is real. Because Tim's grown up his entire life in San Francisco. This wasn't a problem forever because it used to be all foggy and stuff. And now San Francisco,
fog is gone.
A hotbed. People just walking around in bikinis.
Too hot.
Bullshit.
I look tan.
That's just your olive. Your Italian. Stop winking. And don't. You looked right at my nips. I know you're getting ready.
Man.
That's a pre-show callback right there, ladies and gentlemen.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Game Over Greggy Show. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table, each bringing a random topic to conversation for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get the entire show early for just a buck. Watch us record it live, like so many of you are right now. Thank you, Patreon people. You could also get it early on Friday as a big video or a big MP3. Of course, the video version includes the pre and post show that the live people get. And sometimes when we screw up editing the MP3, that includes the pre and post show as well.
Happy birthday last week.
However, even if you want to get it just for free, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny the following Friday. 1 week later, it's all up as one big show and one big podcast around the globe. Now, Cameron Cuff.
Yes, sir.
We bring a lot of dirt bags on this show, right? They're just here to shuck and jive their wares. You know what I mean?
Talk about this stuff.
You're here for multiple reasons. Of course, you have this new show, Krypton, on Sci-Fi.
Yes, sir, I do.
But more importantly, you love Kind of Funny.
I do indeed. I'm a best friend.
You've been a best friend for a long time.
So I found Kind of Funny. I was a penniless actor in LA.
Sure.
I had been in London and I'd had some success and I got picked up by an agent in LA and I was bankrupting myself living in Beverly Hills. And
did tell you there was other parts of LA you could have lived in.
No, they didn't.
Right?
I thought it was one part. Yeah. Just Beverly Hills.
Just Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
210,
yeah.
Man.
I was like, wow, LA is expensive.
Yeah. I just want you to know, from Beverly Hills to like a Culver City, for instance, your money would have gone literally twice as far.
West Hollywood, any of pretty those much places. Anywhere.
Yeah.
It would have been better. But so I was there and I saw on IGN Greg Miller's final Up at Noon. And I was like, where's this guy going? Because this is my guy. Like, you know, he's like Superman, likes chicken wings, knows what he's talking about when it comes to comic books and video games.
Like, relatable.
This is a man I can follow. Mm-hmm. This is a man who knows his stuff. So
clearly, we're mirror images of each other.
Absolutely.
Clearly, we have a lot of things.
Which one of you is talking right now? I can't.
I saw the show and I thought, you know, I wish him all the best. You know, this is great. But I'll pursue other things. And I was in LA and I was really struggling.
Sure.
I was having my first real battle with rejection, just no after no after no. And I was getting really ground down.
From what I understand, hard to be an attractive white male in Hollywood. Like, they just don't want you.
It's hard to be anyone in Hollywood. That's the truth. And I think that the thing is, like, when you're there, like, you can feel the weight of the broken dreams. You really can. Like, because every street corner is a location. The billboards are everywhere. Everything inspires to remind you that you're out of work. And my brother lives in LA, and my best friend lives in LA, one of my best friends. And I had this really dumb, stupid male thing of being like, I can't let them see me hurting. I can't let them see that I'm really doubting myself.
I can't open up about that.
And the worst thing of all is my favorite thing to do when I'm feeling sad is go to the movies. Just even by myself, just go sit down and get lost in the movies. And I couldn't even do that because I was thinking, I was watching the entire time just thinking, I will never do that. Mm-hmm. I'll never get there. And all I really needed at that point was four, sometimes five best friends.
Aww.
And that was my thing. That's what got me through as I started listening to you guys. And I fell in love with the podcast. And I think the main thing is like, yes, there's the shifting topics every week and everything. But what the podcast is really about is friendship. And that's what I needed at that time. And ever since, you know, ride or die.
Hell yeah. Ride or die.
That's right.
It's about family.
We die together. Mm-hmm. Bad boys for life.
And that's why we can finally say we're letting Rahul go. He wants to go be a fun house. Let him be free.
To say that we're letting Rahul go means that at some point he cared enough to actually be gotten. He's not. You know, he's fun house for life. That's okay.
So now, of course, you're on the hit show Krypton.
I am indeed.
Episode one's up.
Episode one is out.
We like it a lot.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I'm sure that'll come up later. But so here's what I want to do is I'm going to get Tim.
Yeah.
Pass me my shovel. It's a metaphor. Just pass me like.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Should ask you. You know how to improv.
Yeah.
I'm digging up an old topic.
Okay.
You ready, Nick?
Yeah.
Topic is. Well, actually, hold on. I've dug up a topic.
Okay.
Now I'm Frankensteining it together with something else. All right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Sick fuck.
Does anyone else believe? Thank you very much. Does anyone else believe that Cameron Cuff is proof God exists?
You're gonna need to elaborate.
I elaborate.
His abs.
Wow.
This way, on the episodes where we've talked about God before in passing, sometimes as a full-on topic, I'm like, I believe, and not necessarily in this, that, or the other, but a higher power. Things work out. It's weird. There's too many coincidences in the world. Mm-hmm. Does no one else think it's weird that this guy liked us? He's a kind of funny best friend, and he's a big Superman fan. Yeah. And then he goes out and he gets into a show called Krypton, and then he's on comic book covers, and he's at South By, and he's taking photos of us. He's wearing kind of funny hats. He liked us before he became the guy that is now forever part of the Superman mythos. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why, like, 80 years from now, man, you'll be dead by then probably. 50 years from now, there'll be documentaries about Superman, whatever anniversary on, and you're going to be in them. They're going to talk to you. They're going to show clips from your show. In the next encyclopedia of DC Comics, in 150 years, there'll be a page about Krypton.
That's cool.
This is weird.
You've convinced me. God exists.
But you understand what I'm saying, right? Of like,
yeah, no, seriously.
So many weird coincidences. Insane.
It is very, very weird. Because it was, you know, we talked to a lot of people on Twitter and social media and stuff, but you're always a face that I recognize because you have the blue
verified
check, which like forces through.
If you don't know, once you're verified on Twitter, it adds another column of you click on it's verified and shows you only interactions with verified people. So yeah, you pop up all the time. I'm like,
yeah,
who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. You click on an actor. I'm like, I don't know.
I can annoy you without impunity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now fucking Krypton. It's like, it's just such a huge jump. to me.
It is crazy. It is really weird because like I've always been a comic book fan.
Yeah.
I grew up with the Andrea Romano Bruce Timm animated series.
Hell
you
yeah.
know, like Tim
yeah,
Daly
yeah.
is my Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
So and that's the thing. Like I grew up with that, so I had a cursory knowledge. I grew up in the 90s. I knew who these guys were. And then I opened up, it was like probably like 2005 or whatever, and I opened up, you know, those like big DK DC encyclopedias.
Oh yeah.
They had one on Batman. And I was like, all right, I like Batman. I'm really bored in this bookshop. So I'll flip through this. And that was the first time I ever learned about Jason Todd.
Ooh.
That was the first time I ever learned about Tim Drake.
Sure.
You know, and I was like, this mythology is way deeper than even the shows get.
Yeah.
And so much of them are based on personal relationships. Like it was, I mean, it's funny. You always talk about Connor Kent, right? Like Connor Kent was the character who really brought me into comic books. Like someone.
Oh, see, this is weird.
It's fucking
again,
strange.
That we look so much alike, but also it's all brought us
Cameron
together.
Settle down. Oh, it's Greg.
I don't know.
I like how you guys are wearing light colors today, by the way. It's perfect. Mm. A little dash of Superman from both of you guys.
Got that. Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah,
zazz.
I don't know that it's a proof that God exists per se.
God exists, and he's a Greg Miller fan. That's what I'm saying.
But I do think it's proof that people are receiving the message out there that we're sending out every day, and that the hoodies. Hopefully, if we can get more, we can just get everyone dressed in hoodies, and then we'll look exactly like that cult from Wild Country.
Except blue instead of maroon.
No, I mean, all kidding aside, I think it's just because we have all like interests, right? We're very similar,
sure.
yeah.
to a lot of people.
But
out
even
there.
That. Like, and I guess this is the thing we're dealing with, that our generation has come up growing up on so much nerddom. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're being cast in this show that you already know the subject material of and love, or know the universe of, right? In the way that before you hear about somebody getting cast, and I'm not knocking any other actor, but they get cast and they go out and they run out and they buy a bunch of comic books to learn and get into it. Yeah. But to like
Jeremy Renner. You don't know shit about Hawkeye.
Nobody knew shit about Hawkeye before that movie came out.
Especially not Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to sell him on getting his own solo picture because I was trying to tell him how good the Matt Fraction run. I think he immediately forgot when he left that IGN interview.
He should have read it. Fantastic run.
Huh? Oh, he should have. Yeah, you know, we all agree that was fantastic. Kate Bishop.
It was. I was at WonderCon yesterday, and I met Jason Fabok.
Yeah.
And he was so amazed that I knew who he was. And like he was shy around me because like I was in a TV show, but I was so shy around him because to me, he's a huge star.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know, the fact that I'm on like first name terms now with Geoff Johns is insane.
Right.
To me.
Yes.
Like it's absolutely bonkers.
The fact that Jim Lee likes my Instagram and comments every so often, I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like
crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, the fact that I'm here right now talking to you guys on my favorite podcast.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I feel I'm so, here's the thing. Like I'm not a believer per se. And you know, I don't believe in destiny, but I'm the luckiest guy to ever live. I truly believe that.
I feel you on that, man. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Things are cool.
I don't
Life
know
if, works out.
Yeah.
Life
finds
a way.
It's what's for dinner. this is my question to you though, Cameron.
Yes, sir.
How much does luck play into success like you're enjoying right now versus preparation versus just putting the work in, right? Because I don't know a lot of people who have gotten shows like you have right now without a tremendous amount of, like, no one just falls down all like in LA and gets discovered.
Mm.
So how much went into getting Krypton?
There were a lot of no's. There were a lot of no's before there was finally a yes. And look, I'll come out and say fully from the beginning is absolutely, I feel like I got lucky. There was no doubt in my mind that I've got lucky. To me, and also coming from England, Oi Governor.
Oi Governor.
The perception of acting in the UK and in Ireland tends to be that, you know, you go to a training program, you train a lot, you work hard, you study, you learn your craft, and then you come out and then you do like rep theatre. And you do theatre for years, and then you are small supporting role, lead role, and then eventually you move into movies and then American movies and stuff like that. And I have friends who are on that journey. And that is where I feel like I still belong, cutting my teeth and learning my craft. I feel like I've just won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never ever feel like I didn't get lucky. Granted, I've worked really hard and I've kept believing in myself. And I do believe that there was a moment before I started Krypton, I had this really human moment that I think a lot of actors would get if it's their first big role. Where I was thinking, I'm a fraud, I can't do this, I'm going to ruin Superman for everyone, I suck, I can't possibly carry this off. And I was talking to my girlfriend, and I was saying those things to my girlfriend.
I thought in my head to do it, and then he did it before I could.
And I was saying all these things, like, I can't possibly do this, I'm going to crack, I'm not that good, I can't do this. And she's like, but you love this. And I was like, oh yeah. I do this for no other reason than I adore it. I love it so much. And I think if you are trying to make it as an actor, director, producer, really whatever it is, love what you do and do it because you love it, and success will follow. Keep believing in yourself, keep believing in that dream, and eventually it'll happen. And because you love it, you will end up somewhere where you are happy. That's what I believe.
Facts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I concur, and I feel like sometimes maybe success might be like the success you enjoy might not be the one you expected. But if you put a lot of work into it and you give it enough time, you can rise up the ranks. To your credit and to the producer's credit of the show, wow, you guys got a great cast in this too.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Like, and I forget the actor's name, but the guy that plays your dad, who I believe was in Sherlock,
Graves.
Right? Dude, he's so good. And I was like,
amazing.
It's the guy from Sherlock. I love him. He's really good.
I think we would
and
all...
D's like, stop yelling. We're watching this alone in the house.
Yeah. No, D was asleep by then. Are you kidding me? A show about Superman? She's like, that's on you.
Yeah,
you're going to go watch that yourself. You. First off, I love my wife, but we've already established she tends to take nerd stuff down a couple notches. And sometimes I have to just be like, I want this one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just have this one. So I watched it on my laptop in the other room.
Nice.
That's what I did.
What'd you watch after on that laptop?
What I watch after on the laptop? Yeah. No, I don't do that.
Yeah.
No. I don't do that.
No, you don't do that.
I'm a Puritan.
No, that was the thing. I watched it last night off of Amazon. And GDC week. Otherwise, it'd be there. I'll be there week to week. Get off my back. Yeah. Jesus, Cam.
Watch it.
But I was like, all right, Jen, we got to watch this and we got to watch Ant-Man tonight. And she's like, okay, cool. And when episode one finished, she was like, oh, all right, can we start another one? And I was like, oh, well, no. She's like, oh, this isn't over? Like, she hadn't heard about Krypton. And I thought, not, I mean, Jen likes the superhero stuff, but I didn't know if a show about Krypton would be enough to grab her. And she's like, so in, loved it, loved the story, and wants to know where it's going. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing is, like, look, if you're a massive comic book fan like me, then there's so much in here that you'll love, that you'll understand inherently. But also, we're not really making a superhero show. It's a science fiction show. This is a space adventure. And the way that I talk about it at cons is to say, this is Flashpoint meets Guardians of the Galaxy. This is meant to be fun. It's a thrill. Like, for some reason, there was a lot of talk thrown, like, dark and gritty. That was thrown out. Like, dark and gritty, those are two words that are so overused that they've long since lost all meaning.
Right.
And are the stakes grounded in the characters' journeys? Absolutely. Are some of the themes a little heavier than you might expect in a superhero show? Absolutely. But this is still fun.
Yeah.
And I think anyone could get it. So we're really glad that people love it. The response has been really good. And also, we're doing something a little different. You know, there have been a few things, like things like Black Panther, for example. Or the new Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be in it. The new X-Men film, New Mutants. That looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, the genre has been around for a while now, where we can start making some different choices. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do things that we haven't seen before. And for us, suddenly it's like we've gotten to the point where we can take some narrative risks.
Yeah, well, you can play with it, right?
Let's make something that's ambitious and bold and wild.
And that was what for me worked so well, because we talked about this earlier today when they announced Krypton. The show's having this before your involvement, right? But you have a title and you know it's getting kicked around. I remember being like, nah, man, I'm not. I don't really care about what happened on Krypton to his grandfather. You know what I mean? Similar when I was like, I don't care about the Smallville show. Hey, he doesn't have powers. Whatever.
It was going on.
Yeah, exactly. But when that, I mean, obviously you get involved. I'm like, well, I got to watch now. I got to support Kane. But then when that first trailer drops, and it is, you know, Adam Strange with the cape.
Yes.
And this is in that very. From episode one, talking about, like, your grandson's going to be Superman, and this is what's happening in the timeline, and we need help. I was like, that's awesome. That's an Elseworld story you get told somewhere along the line, or an annual, right? A Superman annual.
That is
what
this is, in many ways. Like, because Adam Strange has come back in time, the timeline has irrefutably changed already.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there is no going back from this moment. We could absolutely make the wrong choice, and Superman might not exist. Yeah. That is a very real risk on our show, and that's something we're excited to play with.
So, real quick, I guess, too, give everyone the elevator pitch. Somebody is watching or listening right now and hasn't been keeping up. What is Krypton?
Well, okay, smash cut to a green planet. A green planet that's orbiting a red sun. It's 200 years before the birth of Kal-El. This is a planet with dwindling resources. It's sort of on its last legs. And things like population control have sort of been installed by an authoritarian theocratic regime. And the House of El, this great house of scientists and revolutionaries and freethinkers, are saying there is something out there. Val-El, who's the head of the house, comes out and says, there is something out there. It's coming for us. I'm telling you, we need to band together. We need to work to stop it. And this theocratic regime says, no, Rao, his only creation was us. We are the only planet in the universe. You are condemned to death. And they condemn him to the ice. And because all outside the city is a wasteland. It's ice wastes. The House of El is shamed. Their status is ripped from them. And that's where we meet young Segel growing up in the rankless district. He's a con man. He's a hustler. He's morally adrift. He's not really sure where he stands on a lot of things. Gets in a lot of bar fights, drinks a lot. And that is where, sort of, when he's most adrift, when he's most lost, someone comes up to him and says, hey, 200 years from now, where I come from, a planet called Earth, your grandson is going to be the greatest hero in the universe. And something is coming to make sure that that's not the case. And all of a sudden, Seg is faced with the reality that he has the great past of the House of El, this great legacy, and also the future. Like, this amazing man, this symbol of hope, and Supergirl as well, an amazing woman, who are there in the future, who embody all of that and take it even further. And he has to now rise to the occasion where he is to bridge those two things. He has to come to be the sort of man who can wear that symbol. And also, the symbol has to grow into the symbol of hope that millions across the multiverse know it is.
Awesome. You better not fuck it up, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best.
Now, that's one of the things I like about the show, too, is that you don't get to see too much of the other houses, right? We got to see a little bit of Man of Steel, like where we were, you know, like when I was a kid growing up with the Donnerverse, like the Donner movies, like I didn't really grasp that Zod was from a different line, a different house, a different, like he was supposed to be bred to be a soldier, things like that. Mm. You guys get to play around in that world a little bit, right? And I'll try to tread lightly on this. You get to play around with it a lot, which is great, with some of your co-mingling with some of the other houses.
Yes. Well, there is a forbidden love affair with one Lighter Zod, who is from the House of Zod,
a nickel.
Yes.
It's very Romeo and Juliet. They're not supposed to be together, but
it's hot. How do you recover from that?
I was watching. I was like, oh, man. Sci-fi not afraid of that bump and grind. What I mean?
That's the thing. Is like the show is not like we'll absolutely go into those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. The things that are more mature. This is a real world. This is a world of shades of gray. Like everyone believes they're doing the right thing. There are no heroes or villains. Mm. And that is really exciting to us. And the awesome thing about the character of Lighter and her mother Jaina is that two of the most courageous and morally forthright people in our show are from the House of Zod.
Right, which I thought was a good choice.
Historically has a much more villainous connotation. Mm-hmm. So we'll absolutely see those other houses. It's an ensemble show. Mm-hmm. Like the through line of it might be Seg and his journey, but there are so many other houses. There's House Vex, who are sort of Machiavellian sort of politicians. There's the Rankless District, which is its own world that's very sort of Blade Runner and has its own sort of thing going on. It's really, really cool. There are so many areas that we want to go into. There are lots of different cultures on Krypton and a few of them we might see this season.
Very cool. Yeah, that was one of the things that drew me to it as well. Is I was like, oh, you guys are going into a little political intrigue. You can see that there's going to be some characters that have different motivations for why they're doing things. I forget the actress's name that plays your kind of betrothed.
Wallace Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's awesome. You get an idea from her character that she might have other ulterior motives as to what's going on as well.
Yeah, she's
maybe to screw
over
her father. Maybe she. You never know. I love that we bring back in the idea of the birthing chambers and like the you know that nobody has kids on this planet, which is really, really cool. And I like to explore.
Well, that was the thing,
well.
Right? When they were talking about binding, and you're gonna bind with her or whatever. It's like, oh, interesting. Yes. And they go in there and they take the blood samples, combine them, and tell you the whole history. Or
we got a baby
future.
On the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh wow, weird.
It is weird. But here's the thing is like so the society is so segmented and has such strong ideas about who you can be and what you can do that to be with someone who you're not supposed to be with is deeply forbidden. But and also in the Rankless District they have babies the normal way, but the government just sort of says, oh well, you know, it didn't come through the Genesis Chamber, it's not a citizen. It's not a citizen, we don't have to care.
Interesting. Mm.
And the other interesting sort of byproduct of the Genesis Chamber in Kryptonian society is that it means they've evolved past gender roles. And they've evolved past traditional sexuality as well. Mm. So it creates a very different society.
Interesting, yeah.
An interesting one.
Yeah. That's interesting, yeah, because you would kind of defy social constructs at that point. You're like, they can just be whatever we... Like, you literally have a machine that just says, perfect for this, go.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty cool. It's interesting.
And it's awesome to have a world where people love who they love. And, you know, no matter who you are, gender, race, it's not a thing. You can go ahead and do whatever it is you want to do as long as you work within this authoritarian regime.
Was there ever, like, I don't know if you can speak to this or not, but like how did Man of Steel, did the Krypton from Man of Steel ever come into like the conversation as far as the production design was concerned?
Yes, definitely. The cool thing, well, David Goyer, who did Man of Steel and he and the Dark Knight films, so many great movies. He was the driving force behind getting this made. You know, this was announced in 2014. It's been a while. Yeah. A long time coming. So the awesome thing about our show is that we've been able to take influence from Man of Steel. We've been able to take influence from Richard Donner's Superman.
Including the soundtrack.
Including awesome. Like the...
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's really cool. Rad.
Hints of that always make me happy. Always.
Oh, yeah. Like it's chills every time. It's so cool. And also from the comics, from New Krypton, like the guild system and all that sort of stuff. And we had Jeff come on board and help us build it too, but also take influences from things like Star Wars and influences from things like Star Trek and Blade Runner and create what we feel is our ultimate science fiction society, which we think is really cool. So yes, the Man of Steel movie definitely played into the design and the feel of the world. But so did a lot of other things too.
I just want you at some point to get your own flying beast, like he had. I forget what the name of the character was. Yeah. It was so sad. I was like, how did you... They managed to do something wonderful with that, the first like 20 minutes of that film, where like you get the bond between him and the beast. Yeah. You get the urgency of what's going on. Yeah. The planet's going to explode. And we're just, and I was like, oh no, his fucking guy got shot. His little thing got shot.
Oh no, not the guy.
Oh, sad. Russell Crowe also. Amazing.
But I think that's the thing, is that David was making that movie and he just sort of thought, there's more here.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things people loved about Man of Steel. Yeah. A lot of people were like, that was one of my favorite parts of seeing what that society was like and where they were at and how it was going.
And I think that's the thing, is that every interpretation of Krypton is like, we're here for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly,
okay,
exactly. Yeah. Well, it was, you know, interesting, and we're jumping around plot points of episode one, but you should go watch it anyways. Like when you go to your grandfather's fortress.
Yeah.
And it was that thing of like, all right, like, I've never really thought much about, and like there's always a reason, or like here's this crystal or whatever, but there's never like a, yeah, this is like a lineage thing of you have a fortress of solitude. Like this is an established place.
I love the nod to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's his, you know, it's just like his fortress of solitude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. You go in there and there's the same like, you know, what will be iconic later on in many Superman comics of basically what we know is Jor-El and Lara holding up Krypton, right? But it's not. It's just these two other Kryptonians.
It's the founding members of the House of El.
See, there you go.
Is our idea. And it's in our world, because there is this authoritarian regime, he built it to keep his work safe, a fortress of solitude, because inherently his work made him be alone. It's the only place that he was safe enough to try and save Krypton by himself.
So, you know, he mentioned the thing from Man of Steel. You shouted out its name. I saw you, I think, on DC's Instagram stories, right, doing the quiz. And you got like 8 out of 10 on these Superman questions, right?
I'm a big nut.
So was that already built in, or was it when you got this, you're like, I know it's about to happen. I know at every Comic-Con somebody's going to try to stump me on something.
Hey, it was cool. My first Comic-Con panel was 2017. The show hadn't come out. We'd been picked up, but we hadn't shot anything else yet. There was no other photography done. So I was there with me and the showrunner, Cameron Welsh, and we have this massive panel, and Jeff is moderating, and we were sort of going through it, and he said, like, oh, and Jeff was like, oh, so Cameron, you're a fan. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was talking about the DK, and it's like, and I said, oh, wow, there were three Robins. He was like, actually, there were four Robins. And it's like, oh, it was pre-Damian Wayne, Jeff. And the whole room goes like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he's a fan?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And yeah, like, it was that someone came up and asked us a question about Injustice, and that was, I saw my showrunner was just like, what?
What's Injustice?
And I just came in and be like, Tom Taylor's a genius, has a huge influence on our show, you know, read everything he writes.
Hell yeah.
And from then on, it was just like, this is awesome. This is so great. And all the PR people were just like, you know, you actually genuinely know your stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
I was like, I love this stuff.
Yeah.
I'll never not want to come to a Comic-Con.
It sucks that that's not just the norm.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It pays to hire nerds. That's what I'm talking about, people. If you're out there watching, cast these two guys.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
What's that? I don't know anything.
I just going to ride your coattails. We would get cast in a Fast and the Furious film and you wouldn't even know their names.
Which one was the kid that drove the Jetta?
Even I know that was Jesse. Come on.
Can't remember that kid.
So we jumped something in your story there. You're down, you're in LA. You're, you know, you rely on us, the four or five, sometimes five best friends. What happens then? Where is it? Just one day you get an audition for Krypton?
So I went back to London. I got a tiny role in a film called Florence Foster Jenkins, where I'm literally, you can see me go and say my line and it goes, smash cut. Gone.
You like to do this?
literally, that's the case. So I did that. And then I did a British costume drama called The Halcyon, where I was playing an Irish Spitfire pilot in World War II, which was really awesome. That was fun. And that's where I met Matt Ryan, Constantine, and I tried not to nerd out too hard. I was like, oh my God, Black Flag is amazing. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. And then something came into my inbox, just said Krypton. And I thought, never going to happen.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Not a chance in hell. Because it's such a huge thing. You know, it's casting out of America. They're going to be casting in the UK. They're going to be casting in America. They're going to be casting in Australia. It's going to be lots and lots of people going for this role. I went in to the audition and I met Colin McCarthy, who's the director of the pilot. And I had a great audition. It was really fun. Didn't expect anything of it. And sure enough, I was told I didn't get it. and that was completely natural. Because my agent said, like, look, Matt, a lot of competition. Don't worry about it. Get them next time. I was like, totally, it's fine. Used to hearing that at this point. But it never went away. It kept just coming back. And they kept saying, could you just do one more tape? Could you do another tape? And eventually I was working over in the States. I was working in Brooklyn on a TV show. And it was the day before I rapped, and my agent called me and said, could you do another tape for Krypton? And I'm working 12-hour days. I'm a guest in this, but I have quite a big role, and you know, it's my first big American thing, and I don't want to mess it up.
Can you allowed to talk about that show?
It got axed after like 6 episodes. Literally my episode, one more episode, done. So I loved it. It was really good fun, but not worth the shout out because it is RIP. I said, like, are they all just having a laugh at the nerd boy? Like, they've seen me so many times at this point. Like, there's got to be something going on. And she said, look, fair enough. I'll go back and I'll ask them if they wanted something different. And she calls me when I get home that day and she says, bring your bags to set with you. You are going straight to the airport. You're flying to LAX and you're testing for David Goyer. And David has made some of my favorite, The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
You know, which is still the greatest comic book movie of all time. You know, so to be in a room with him, this guy's a legend on screen and in comic books, was amazing. But, and here's where actually the huge amount of no's came in useful. A few months before.
Wait, what?
No, as in rejection.
I thought you meant, I'm like, you don't have that big of a nose. No. Did I miss a morning show joke? I don't know.
How I feel all the time.
Before then, in October, I screen tested for, I'm not allowed to say what it was, but it was a massive Hollywood film, and I got down to the last two for it, and I lost out of the last two.
Fucking The Rock took it. Rampage.
The Rock, he's just in everything. He's so talented and good looking, and I'll never be as good as him. He got it, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
And I was devastated. I was heartbroken. And it didn't help. I watched a Pixar movie on the way back on the plane. Oh, no. Face melting, ugly crying.
You had a good excuse, though.
Yeah. No, and I was like, it's not my career. It's the film.
Yeah.
I'm going to bounce back.
It'll be fine. Give me the bourbon. I was devastated. But the thing is, when I was in the room with David, I was just coming off a job, and also I was like, a few months ago, I was here and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd never make it back. And here I am. If I don't get this, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So just, I got the sides, and I noticed that the sides could be played very earnestly and very sincerely and sort of desperately. It's a high tension scene. And then I also sort of thought, there's a little Han Solo in here. This could be more fun. This could be interesting. And I went in there, and I think I was the first person to make them laugh.
Mm.
And I think from then on, it was a good feeling. And David was like, this is the guy. And there was one more screen test. And from there, it was, I got it. And then I was in Serbia shooting the pilot 3 days later.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How many no's do you get? Like, are we talking like you're doing hundreds of auditions a year? Or is it like 10?
You know... The time in LA was the worst because I was there for 6 months and I had 4 auditions. And that is still, for a lot of actors, is a lot. But the periods of hearing nothing, the phone's not ringing, no one's interested, no one wants to know you, that's the hardest. But it was quite a few. But I was sort of on a trajectory. It was sort of like, you know, getting called back a little bit more often. Okay, maybe screen test and then don't get it. You know, like, so. And occasionally I was starting to get the part. So my confidence was higher.
Kevin's doing the thing.
Thank you, sir. My confidence in general was high, but a lot. I was out of drama school for 2 years before I got Krypton. So literally a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, sure. I was gonna say that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, no, it was really, really quick. But yeah, no, there was a lot of rejection. A lot of rejection before then, for sure.
And as a lot of things that you're trying out for on the level of Krypton, because that feels really big for you to just go from like nothing theater to being the lead
to be the main character
of any show, but like, let alone a show that's up your alley in terms of interest and stuff.
This guest role that I had was, I think I had 20 pages of dialogue, which is 20 minutes of screen time. That was the most I'd ever had for any character ever. And the next job after that was Krypton.
Jeez.
Which was great. And I'm very lucky. I have a wonderful team, and I was going up for some good stuff, some big stuff. But yeah, this was the first time I ever really, you know, other than that other movie, but this was the first time that I really was in with a chance.
So now you're doing it, and it kind of relies on you to lead this. How does that weight feel on you? Like, do you feel like you? I'm an actor and I got this, or yeah. you're kind of like, oh shit.
Well, yeah. Well, that I don't know who it is. It's it. Some actor who's just sort of like the, there are two things that cross your head when you when you're playing Hamlet. First is, oh my god, I'm playing Hamlet, and then the second is, oh my god, I'm playing Hamlet. You know, like it, it's that it's the it's scary. But so the thing was, it's a little. It's sort of three things. Number one, I have an amazing cast around me. That just like Georgina Campbell, amazing actor. Rupert Graves, amazing actor. I'm so lucky to be working with the people I'm working with. And the thing is, acting is always the same game. No matter where, if it's in a theater for 90 people, if it's on screen for 90 million people, it's always the same game. You just got to be truthful. It's hard, but it's always the same thing, and that's comforting. And the last thing was, you know, I love it. I love Superman, and I am a fan. And the thing is, no one will be harder on me than I am on myself. And I knew that going in. And I thought, you know what? If I am proud of this,
don't look
if I
at
can,
the YouTube comments.
Never, yeah. ever look at comments. But the second I thought that, I was like, you know what? If I'm proud of this, then that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Sure. Here's a question I have for you as a person who's auditioned a ton. How do you deal with nerves?
So the first year I got out of drama school, I completely froze. Because it's the one thing that acting teachers cannot prepare you for.
Right.
You can do as many audition seminars as you want, but you cannot simulate the feeling of being there in the room. And you feel like you're being judged. It's not what's happening, but inherently it's like I have to compete with all the other guys who are going up for this part. Like Ryan Gosling tells an amazing story about living in LA as an actor. Is you go there, you're 2 hours late because of the traffic, you double park because you think you're next up, you go in there, there's 20 other guys who look exactly like you. Guess what? You're not the only one who thought to bring the cowboy hat. And then all of a sudden you sit down, the walls are paper thin in this office, and all you can hear is the other guy doing his version of the scene, and now all you can think about is doing it better than him than the way you were actually going to do it. Meanwhile, the casting director is outside the office talking with Jared Leto's agent because he's already got the part, you know, and that's what you deal with. You come out and you double parked and you got a ticket. Well done. That is sort of how it can feel. Like it feels like you're competing, and that's not what it is. And I think it took me a year to learn that lesson. I was so nervous because I thought I have to be good. I have to be really, really good. And that's like a sort of it sucks, but it's one of the most horrible things about it is that ironically. Sometimes working as hard as you possibly can to make it good in any other thing, it might work, but not in acting because you'll just end up pushing too hard.
Right.
But I think the thing that got me there in the end was just everyone's just a person. They're all just people. I think I have something to say about this role. And if they don't like me, then they don't like me. It's happened before. I've been fine. I'll be back in this room at some point. Just know my stuff. I'll work hard. I'll get it down. And then at the end of the day, if I don't like it, there's nothing I can do about it. I always think to myself, 95% of the casting process is kind of out of my control. If I walk in there and they want someone who's 5'10 and blonde, I'm never getting that part ever. So there's only a certain amount you can do. So you just got to do your thing and hope that you're the guy.
So now that you are the guy, how much say do you have like in terms of the story, in terms of the character and direction for that stuff?
You know, it's interesting because our showrunner's great. He's really, really wonderful. He's really collaborative. There's a fair amount of improvisation that goes on. But the writers are fantastic. And, you know, at the end of the day, my job is to bring their characters to life. So that's great. And that's wonderful. And we talk about ideas. And obviously, because I know this stuff, I've pitched him ideas and I've pitched things and you know we'll see where that goes.
That's cool. Like that's a great idea. We'll see you there's craft services.
Well done, actor boy.
That's the thing though. I have to imagine like now that you've been cast, now that you've done the pilot, now that you're going and you're filming more stuff, at what point do you just develop a huge head, huge ego, go, I need a new pair of sneakers every time I go anywhere, rose petals just everywhere I walk.
Yep. We put Andy Cortez on camera once and he started these
dudes. Yeah. Fuck, it's horrible.
Right now, more LaCroix.
That one will happily watch.
Look, and you were saying it's a shame it's not the norm, but I was talking to Rahul about this, and Rahul Kohli, a friend of the show.
Funhouse fuckboy.
Funhouse.
Jesus Christ.
Treacherous man.
He left us.
But yeah, it is sort of, I don't really get why you don't see more actors who are like, I am so lucky. I am so lucky to be here doing this thing because it's crazy. I'm doing the thing that I love on Superman, which is amazing. And I constantly feel like, I'm so lucky and grateful to be where I am. I don't think I could ever be like that, just because it would be really disingenuous of me to complain about anything.
I feel, I was obviously being facetious, I wouldn't expect you to do that.
Yeah.
Just to make that point. But yeah, I mean, I feel like most people that I've met who are professional actors who are on like doing good work are very grateful to have gotten those. I think you, obviously the media glorifies the ones that self-destruct.
That's true.
So I don't know if that's necessary, if the norm is necessarily you're supposed to hit a certain level and then just be a horrible human being and just start fucking everyone over. Or if that's just, hey, that sells stories, that gets clicks. Like, let's really focus on that. Because I have to imagine out of the hundreds of thousands of actors out there, working actors out there, that most of them are decent people who are putting the work in. Everyone that's ever come on this show has always been awesome, you know. The exception of what's his name called?
Who else?
I thought we were going to talk shit about Rahul.
Oh,
again.
More Rahul shit.
What's
Rahul.
His name?
I call Troy Baker. I just call him Baker now. I just want you to know. Yeah, that's the thing. Oh. I just we're hanging out in the morning show.
I was hanging out with him over on the weekend. You know what I mean? Somehow his legs are getting even skinnier. His jeans and pants getting even like he's almost like paper thin on these legs. I don't know what he's doing.
Every time he comes in to our studio, I'm like, you make me feel so slovenly, so. Like I have no style whatsoever. And he just, I shit you not, Cam. At one point, I'm calling you Cam now. I call him the baker. I call you Cam.
Call me whatever you want, man.
At one point he was telling a story and all of us were so engaged to it. And he just reached over, someone handed him a guitar. I don't know how they got it. And he just started strumming it as he was telling the story. It added to it.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessary, but it definitely added to the overall tone and feeling of the story. Handed it over next person. Never saw those people again.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's the kind of skill he has that he can make guitars.
He's the sort of guy that like when he walks out into the night, you're just like, where's that guy going?
Yeah. I wish I could follow, but I know I can't.
Yeah.
Off to the next adventure.
Exactly.
Over that hill yonder.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just the growing up in the age of social media and stuff where, it, you know, being like YouTubers and people that are interacting and talking on camera and all that stuff, that kind of becomes the normalized world that we live in where the actors that we see on TV now didn't grow up with that stuff. So it's like, I just feel like there's this more like, oh, anybody can do it, do anything. Where I feel like before, there was like a lot more gatekeepers in terms of getting into acting. And it was either you go to these schools, you do this right and get it. But now it's kind of just,
if you got a camera, you can do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And that was the big mistake I made when I was in the low point, was that I didn't think of myself as an actor. I could only act if people were paying me to do it. And like now, as you guys know, your advice to anyone who wants to start a podcast is just start.
Start doing it, yeah.
Just get to it. You have the ability now to, you have a camera, you can start acting, you can start making videos with your friends. Start doing scenes from films that you like, you know, totally, totally worth it. It's all valuable.
That's the thing for me too, is that for the longest time I thought, you know, you think about life in terms of big moments, big breaks, things like that. It's actually, I think, probably the wrong way to think about it. I think life is probably a little more important to think about with all those small little incremental things that you can do for yourself all the time that aren't hulkingly like, you know, imposing or really intimidating for you. Like I, on just a much smaller level,
I forgot that we had the comics. We should show off.
There
the
you
comic.
Go.
I want to bring the comics. That's you on the cover.
Holy shit!
That awesome. Is my face. Right?
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
Free in your local comic book shop right now. Big old stack downstairs. You can steal them. They won't know, Tim.
Yeah,
it says free.
And then that's you on the back of the key art for Krypton.
Yes,
really cool. You're just all over this thing.
It's cool.
You should sneak down there. We should all just sign all of those copies that are downstairs, just to piss them off. No, but I mean that's. That is the thing that I think about a lot, where I'm like, you know, every little thing you do builds into this thing that you're trying to accomplish. And you don't realize it at the time, but then you turn around and you're like, oh wow, I really did accumulate a lot of skills and I am moving forward and I am progressing.
Yeah.
It's
so
just
much.
Difficult, you know, when you're trying to be an actor, because it is difficult to practice that craft unless you have a specific set of circumstances that allow you to do that. And so that's what I've seen a lot of my friends struggle with, is they're like, you know, even getting a play can be difficult. Even getting something where you're not getting paid can be very difficult.
Yeah.
Because there's just such a tremendous amount of competition out there.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because I do think competition to some degree like pushes you farther and weeds people out that don't really care about it. But like, how much longer would you have held on, do you think? Do you think you'd, no matter what, do it forever?
As long as it took.
Yeah.
I think as long as it took. I think the thing is, I knew I wanted to be an actor and my parents were understandably worried.
Well, they just kept giving you pamphlets to med school.
You're paying how much in Beverly Hills?
Everything that I made in my life.
Your dad Googling
is
like, there's a place called Long Beach you could live in.
Yeah,
that's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, your agent said Beverly Hills, are you sure? Yeah.
This whole thing called the Valley.
Yeah, exactly. I think as long as it took, because I think I got into a short film when I was 9. And that was the thing that gave me the bug.
Did it?
Because my family have always loved watching movies. That was the thing. That was how we spent time together. So I always knew that I liked it. The first movie I ever saw on the big screen was the 1990s re-release of A New Hope. There was never a chance for me. I was always going to love this. But I got on this short film, and there were all these interesting people who had amazingly intricate jobs. There was an amazing vibe on set. I got to stay up late. I got to act. And I got £100 at the end of it, which is a lot of comic books. So, and I asked my mom, like, what's this for? And she says, what? You got paid for being in the film. And that was the first time I realized that people got paid to act.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. And they said a few offers came in after that when I was still like 9 years old. And they said, no, go to school, stay in school. We want you to have a normal life. If you want to do it when you're 18, that's fine. So I turned 18. I said, I'm going to drama school.
And I hate you, Mom and Dad.
Give me back my £100.
Offer letters.
Well, at any point did your parents say, like, hey, you can do this? Because I feel like that's a thing that a lot of people don't have. You don't have the one person in your life that says, hey, you know, other people are doing this. You could also do this. Like, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah. They always believed in me. I think they wanted me to know that it was hard. Like, and they said, look, this is a really difficult life. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Like, because when it's bad, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. But I said to my mom, look, if I end up doing community theater in a library for the rest of my life, then at least I know I tried. I gave it everything. Mm. And that was the thing that made it go, you know what? Fine. You know, you'll end up somewhere where you'll be happy. But my parents always believed in me. And the thing is, I never did well at school. You know, there's an old joke about theater is that if you're not good at sports and you're not good at class, that's where you go, theater. And that was sort of true for me. It was a sanctuary for me. I didn't really feel like I belonged anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And sort of that was the thing that sort of kept me going. But I knew that I just didn't feel like I fit anywhere else. And my grandmother as well was really, really supportive of me and just said, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. Like, I believe in you wholeheartedly. And the sad thing was my grandmother passed away before Krypton happened. Mm-hmm. She didn't even hear that I got cast. And my dad said, are you upset about that? And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, I would have loved for her to see it, you know, be a success and everything. But she knew.
Yeah. She knew you'd figure it out eventually. Yeah. She'd get there.
She knew I'd make it. Like, that was, you know, everything. I was talking to, again, to that Funhouse man about that. And he said, you know what? The rest of it is just for us. You know, it would have been great for us to see them see it, but
yeah.
She knew. So that was awesome. And Coco really hit me where in the feels. Yeah, it messed me up.
So you didn't do sports in high school?
I did sport. I did basketball.
Oh, you did basketball.
And I was not good at it. I did it because they forced me to.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. I think back to, I did theater in high school as well. I did theater and band. Predominantly, I was a marching band nerd, but I, just to ensure... Just to make sure that I would never have sex until mid-college, I did theater as well. A little choir as well. Just sprinkled that in. Actually, it was just hilarious. I think back on that, I'm like, that was all me thinking that because everyone else was getting laid around me at theater.
everyone else,
by the way, theater, if you want to get laid, that's the place to go because you are just crammed together in the back of this like dark theater when the show's going on and it's super exciting. Everyone's scared and anxious.
It's
and
so cold. You have to be naked and hold each other.
Pumping and there are people and you'll just look over and someone's making out and you're like, and you lock eyes with someone, you're like, are we gonna make out right now? That was always
like,
fun.
No. Like, no. No, I'm the teacher.
And my best friend Gareth was like, no, we're not going to make out.
I am in character, sir.
We are doing Little Shop of Horrors right now. I must play the plant.
Have you no respect for your craft?
But I think about that though, because there are those moments when you're young that bond you to things. And largely, I just got an email about my 20-year high school reunion. That's happening this year. I plan on going. I didn't go to my 10-year. Hard to believe that was, Jesus, I'm 20, you know, 20.
A decade ago?
Yeah. I don't actually think it was, though. That's the thing. I think it may have been
They're
a 15
fast
year.
And loose. This is like
I
American,
don't think we had a 10-year. I think like maybe
American
it was the 15 year.
Because it couldn't have been that long ago.
It couldn't have been that long ago.
Oh, time fucking is crazy time like does. That.
It might have been 2009. Anyway, long story short is it was put on, the people that are putting on my 20-year anniversary are some of my good friends from theater. And did just I? Seeing their names, I'm like... It just reminds me of all these moments.
It brings you back
where
to a place.
Everyone else left school because the school day was over and you had to go rehearse or you had to go audition or you were just part of the state. Like I started, you know, our theater was a little more democratic than it was merit-based. So if you just hung out long enough, they were like, we'll give you a part. And so I started sophomore year and we had done, I was like stagehand and then dude number three that moved shit around but also had a line. And then by the third year, it was like, okay, let's give Nick a little bit of a part. And then by... Actually, about last year, I think I was the lead Cinderella. Of the play. No, it wasn't. It was Julian Marsh in On the Town.
Okay.
It was... some people still talk about it to this
do
day.
Do they really? Mm. Down in Riverside, they're talking about this right now?
I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible. But I remember all those lovely moments of like, you thought you were like, we're doing something that a lot of people don't have the balls to do or don't think to do or don't think they can do. And you've gone out and you, for whatever reason, put your name on the audition list for something. And it's very special and it's cool to see that. And once you do that with a group of people, it really does bond you to that.
Yeah.
And you think about it forever.
It's a bond that few would understand for sure. Yeah. And I know for sure the people I went to drama school with, I went to drama school at this place called The Lear in Dublin. And it was the first year of that program. It was devised by the Royal Academy in London and Trinity College Dublin in Ireland. And it was the first time that Ireland had had a university-tied national academy. So all 15 of us were having an entirely unique experience.
That's cool.
And a few of us have worked together since. But the second you see that person, you are instantly speaking the same language. Yeah. It's an entirely unique bond. You know, that only you guys will understand. It's a really, really wonderful thing. And I think all kids should try theater.
Oh, I absolutely
agree.
Like,
it's really great. It brings you out of yourself. It teaches you how to interact with people. You know,
I'll never forget the when I had done, like, I think it was senior year. We walked around. I always talk about how my high school was very, very weird because everyone kind of got along. Mm. Like, there were fights here and there, but like, it wasn't your, and maybe this was just my perception going in, having watched every 80s movie about the stereotypical roles of the nerd, the jock, you know, the preppy girl, whatever. But I just always assumed high school was supposed to be a bunch of cliques of people like hating each other and fucking with each other. And we just had this weird melting pot of a lot of crossover. And I'll never forget, like, the quarterback that year. When I was a senior, he was a
Johnny
junior.
Touchdown.
No, I forget the guy's name. I'd love to give him a shout out. He was a really nice guy, but he was a talented quarterback. But I'd always just had this, my perception of him. And I remember he came up and gave me a compliment. He was like, hey man, I really like, you know, we saw the play, which of course in high school, your play runs from like one Friday, Saturday, and then Friday, Saturday, done.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, you really like kind of, you actually came. That was great. And he was like, yeah, I just thought it was cool. And like some of the guys with him were like, yeah, we liked it, and walked off. And I'm like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to want to beat my ass.
Yeah.
And like,
I'm mad at him.
And he actually, I remember like having this weird moment where he was like, yeah, I've always kind of wanted to do that. And I think I was just like, you should. And then the next year, I had graduated, and I went back because I was still dating a girl that was there. She was a senior, and he was in the play.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he ended up going in like an auditioning for
Brad Pitt.
Oh my god!
And that man's name was Steven Seagal.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah,
it all makes sense.
That's awesome. One of my first jobs in the industry was working for Andy Serkis.
Really?
I worked as a runner at his studio called The Imaginarium.
Really?
Really?
Is he a cool dude?
Yeah. What the best boss ever?
Okay,
couldn't
should
ask
I stop
for
talking shit about him? Is that what you're telling me?
He told you in my interview to stop talking shit about him.
That makes me want to talk more shit about him.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. You're building up to quite the feud for Kind of Funny Life Prom, I guess. He's coming to prom in the gorilla suit.
That's great. Oh, we got a gorilla suit.
I want to get to other topics, of course.
Of course.
But I want to ask you one thing. Do you fall into the same camp I always talk about on this show? Whereas, and I always say it, if they ever just like let me be Superboy in something, if I ever did that or whatever, right? Like, I would just do it at scale for the rest of my life to own that character. It's even more different for you, right? Because Seg, like, not, I mean, obviously Superman and grandfather, Jor-El had a dad, but like, it's not a character that's been explored in depth.
Yeah, not at all.
Like, do you feel complete ownership over this character? And would you love to do stuff with him in Lego games and weird stuff like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be so awesome. Okay. I one of the first people I talked to at the WBTV party at Comic-Con was I introduced myself to Sam Register, who does all of the animation. And I was like, I would love to work with you guys.
Yeah.
For me, I think Seg's an awesome character, and I feel so happy to be originating a character because very often in these things you are stepping into a role. But I think it'd be really awesome to voice Superman or Connor Kent. They're making a Death of Superman movie. It'd be awesome to play Connor Kent in that. Just saying.
Putting
it out in the universe.
And when they announced that, I was like, you already did this. Why are you doing it again? And they're like, we're doing Reign of the Superman. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Maybe this
one won't be the weird one. Remember this movie?
Yeah.
Where it's like, did you watch Death of Superman, the animated movie?
Wait a minute, they're doing Death of Superman.
Yeah. Like, it's got this, it's like, oh man, they're doing this cool. Oh, and it was a big deal at the time that like Lois and Superman were getting it on. They were actually having, they're like, oh wow, cool. They've made it adult. But then Lois and Superman were having like a relationship. But he hadn't told her he was Clark.
He was Clark, yeah.
And so she was working with Clark, and you're like, what? Like, wait, what?
That is a little bit weird.
That's super weird.
I think there was a trust barrier there that
may a little bit, right?
Be broken.
But like, she knew.
Yeah,
like she was like, and she was just really just waiting for him to tell her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love those animated movies.
Oh yeah, they are so
here, good. Here's your audition. Here, then you got to you have to do the American accent,
give
right?
Him sides.
Do you have to do the American accent if you were to do Connor?
Yeah, sure.
Wow, it's flawless. Do you see it?
Yeah,
you didn't even see it happen.
I know,
did
it
you?
Just happens.
He is.
I heard it.
My dad's from Boston, so that's not a problem for me.
Look at that. Yeah. Now say Ireland and just say it with the Irish accent like you did last time.
Ireland.
Do you see that?
Yeah, when you were talking about Ireland, yeah, Irish just melted.
Because I had to do dialect class in a room full of Irish people, and the first thing they will tell you is it's not Ireland, it's not Ireland, it's Ireland.
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 A-R.
Just like garlic.
Just like garlic.
Just like garlic.
Exactly like that. Nick.
Yes.
I want to know your topic, but I'm going to get up real quick to get a prop.
Okay.
Just to implant for future generations another role we're calling for Cam.
Go get a shovel.
Okay.
No, it's a real prop.
Mm. What's funny is he asked you for the shovel, which I assume is some sort of thing. That's a saying. He could have just taken the shovel himself. It's an imaginary shovel. That's all I'm saying.
It's the biggest compliment I've ever been given.
Well, you're dressed exactly like the Nathan Drake statue, so it needed to be called out of the Henley.
Yeah,
you got the hair
shit.
Going.
That
on.
Is pretty impressive.
I love it.
My topic.
You know the song well because you played the opening Uncharted four times and never gone any further.
You want to know the, biggest insult to the Uncharted franchise is that I had the Legacy Collection installed for very long, for like the last year,
yeah.
And I finally just deleted it to make space for something else.
You're such.
Just deleted it. I think nice. I made space for like Rainbow Six Siege.
Nice. Nice.
Which, by the way, I'm getting awesome at.
Speaking of Uncharted, at my first ever thing, which was Upfronts in Toronto, someone was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for Spider-Man. And I was like, thank you so much. You got to just go
me
with
me too.
So, yeah,
me too.
I will see that.
Yeah. Today we're sponsored by Honey. No, not the kind from bees. The kind that save you all sorts of money online when you're shopping. You'd never turn down free money, right? Well, if you shop online without the best coupons, you're already paying too much. Fortunately, there's a new free browser extension called Honey that automatically finds the best coupons on the web. And you always get the best prices on everything online. In two clicks, Honey is added to any browser for free. Then you shop like you normally do. Honey scans and tests millions of coupons in the background. And then at checkout, Honey will automatically apply the best coupon to get you the biggest discount. And I know what you're saying, Greg. I don't believe it. That sounds like some kind of stupid extension. And I'll tell you what, when I saw this ad, I was like, that would really work. And so I downloaded it on my own. And I'm like, great, here comes a virus. Didn't give me a virus and actually gave me a really good discount on ProFlowers. That's the thing. Tim then said he's been using it for a year. And if you're an audio listener, I'm not looking at the paperwork here. I'm telling you a real story. Tim said he's been using it for a year, at which point I legitimately got angry at him for not telling me about it. Because it is easy. It's super simple. It's right there. Put the coupon in, get your 15, 20% off, whatever it's going to be. I saved $9 on flowers. It's also on eBay, Groupon, a whole bunch of other different things. There's no reason not to add Honey to your browser today. It's free, it takes just seconds to install, and it'll save you tons of money. Add Honey to your browser for free right now at joinhoney.com/Greggy. That's joinhoney.com/Greggy. Honey, a better way, there's no slogan that I know of. A better way to coupon, don't cut your fingers. Don't cut your fingers, cut out the middleman online. Joinhoney.com/Greggy.
My topic is things that you think are weird as you get older. So as I'm approaching 40, there are some things that I see people do, and I'm like, that is fucking, that's just weird to me. Mm-hmm. An example being getting drunk more than one time per week is strange to me. And yet people.
Are you excluding events?
No, just in general.
You see, no, opposite. So you're, but like,
even in an event, like if I went, if I had
E3.
Like, E3, I would do maybe one hard night of drinking, and then the next night I would be like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
I'm not a fucking soldier like you are where you go hard for 5 days straight.
I got to keep this company afloat, and that means getting out there, talking to people, greasing some wheels.
Every day.
Greasing wheels, greasing palms. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
greasing wheels,
exactly.
Greasing palms, greasing hair.
Yeah.
Hair grease.
Keep greasing.
Just grease everything.
What else
everything.
We got? What, what else gets greased?
Grease.
No, it is. It's one of those things I think about where I look back and I'm like, wow, they're just, you know, I've lived on this planet probably half my life at this point, hopefully, God willing. And,
wow.
Just want to take myself out before 80. Just want to be done. Because you don't want to be old. You don't want to be old.
Where were you living the other half of your life if not on this planet?
No, I mean, like, I've lived half my life already.
I understand.
I'm going to live another 40 years.
When we were with you moment to moment, sentence structure was like, I've lived
half of my life on this planet. I'm going to Mars. Peace.
Where's the other half?
A little planet called Krypton. Maybe you guys have heard of it. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on this? Do you ever turn back and look and see, like, hey, these are things I just don't do anymore?
Well, sure, but I think that's just, I don't get hung up on, you know, being 40 or getting closer on 40. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 35 this year. Just a month, everybody. Get your birthday gifts ready. P.O. Box 2275. No, I don't remember anymore. 22751.
You're not going to get all those
cool Twitch page. It's on the Twitch page.
April 2?
April 27th.
April 5th.
Look at us. Now, are you still
and look
Taurus?
So alike.
I know, right? I can play
Did
Drake
you guys
too,
switch seats? Stop playing this joke on me.
I think it happens with every age where you look back at something that you've done in your past. You're like, oh, that's a weird thing. Why would we do that? I think about, like, I was talking to somebody recently about when we were young and at IGN and we were like going to Eddie Rickenbacker's every night, me and Chris Ostertag and stuff. God. You know what I mean?
Happy Hour was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a thing for me anymore.
Yeah.
Happy Hour means it's time I get to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're always out of here as fast as possible.
I love this place. I love it to death. I don't want it to get old. That's why
I don't mean out of here. I just mean, you know. Yeah, I guess out of here is what
no,
I mean.
That's what you
I
meant. Mean.
I
guess.
actually.
No, but that's the thing. I mean, we're a different story because we spend so much time together outside of work because of work or because of other things that we're doing. Like, obviously, we're going on a trip at the end of this week. We spend a lot of time, a lot more time together than I would wager the average employee at, Acme Corporation, sure. Whatever it is.
Sure.
So that's different. I'm not saying that you can't go out there and blow off some steam, but I would be, if you guys were like, hey, let's hit up a happy hour right now, I'd be like, that's weird. We've never...
I said that the other day.
It's true.
The other day,
it's
I don't know if you were here, Tim. And it came, you for sure weren't.
No,
I was saying, you know what I was thinking the other night that something we should do is we should go to a happy hour as an office. Because we have the kegerator and we drink and stuff. But I mean, like, really just knock off at a 4:30 or a 5 and go to a bar and actually just get a drink.
Yeah.
And get outside of here. Because I don't even know what's happening with Andy and Yves Gaumont anymore. Are they still happy? You know what I mean?
I know. We need to know.
I know what's happening with Andy because I stream with him nearly on a nightly basis. Jesus.
What's up, everybody? Nitro Rifle Association member here, Cheeto Fingers.
Brought it back. I was like, I thought that was...
Hey, what up?
Where we going? Okay, we're back down. I found my way back.
What else you got in your thing? Is it just drinking every night?
I mean...
You remember those days.
I do remember
those
days.
You used to be a party animal.
Well, the other thing Burritos. I had was like the idea of having a roommate who is not your significant other.
Sure.
That's a weird thing to me. It's foreign to me. I can't even think about that. I've been with my wife we've been living together for almost 7 years.
But you lived it beforehand with Ty and Brennan.
No, I know. Yeah. I hear people talk about their roommates and I'm like, right, there's someone in your house that you have a barrier, you have to put a boundary on.
Yeah,
not that my wife and I don't have certain boundaries, like for the 30th.
Tell me the boundaries between you.
Oh, for like the 30th time, she's like, please stop just pretending to come in when I'm going to the bathroom and thinking it's funny. It's not funny. And I'm like, I think it's funny. Right.
I'd murder you. That's your joke.
Sometimes
I hear your stories and I'm like, man.
Oh shit.
He's a ball buster, but that I would fucking get off the toilet, poop still hanging out of my ass, beat you down.
Oh my god.
To be a dick about it, sometimes I don't know why. I think it's because I'm the second child, so there's always a part of me that's like, hey, don't forget about me. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I know, like, my brother's totally the firstborn. Where he's like, just fucking shut up and go away. I always wanted to hang out with him. So there's a part of me that always wants to be hanging out with everyone around me, my wife included. And sometimes she'll just be having a moment to herself, even if it's in the bedroom. And I'll go up and I'll just, I don't know why I think this is funny, but I'll like scratch at the door, like just annoyingly like a pet. And she's like,
my God,
why do you do it? It's not endearing. It doesn't make me like you more. If anything, it has the opposite effect. I make myself laugh. And as we've established, sure. I'm the most important person in my world anyway. So.
But that is such a Nick thing to do. Something else that you do that I just fucking love, not to hijack your topic and turn this into
it's a
Nick
thought starter.
Ridiculous. Every time you're in the bathroom, you do here, which is a lot.
Once a day at least.
You do it.
Oh my God, fuck
way
you.
More than once a day. Like you occupy that thing for like half your life. So you're in there and it'll just be like you're doing your thing. And it's like, you know, it's a pretty small place. So like you can hear things that are happening in there, whatever. But you take advantage of that and you'll just sit there. You'll be in there for 5 minutes and then all of a sudden you'll just start fucking singing a song. And it's like, I know you're singing or you're whistling or you're doing some whatever. And I'm like, you're doing this for everyone else. Yeah.
It's your benefit.
But Kevin, when he does that one.
And it's just like, Kevin. You're just doing it. And then I'm like convinced that you're in there way longer than you need to be just to keep doing it. And it's like, you don't know if all of us have headphones on and aren't paying attention at all. You're still doing it though. And then I hear you laugh to yourself. And it's that laugh.
I like to, what I like to do is I like to throw out not a loud Kevin. You did it wrong. Yeah, I like to just do a little Kevin.
But it gets louder. Because it's that thing of, you know, no one can ignore it.
Yeah.
You start in, and if you don't immediately get the reaction you want, you will amplify and, yeah, just probably just hang out on the toilet longer.
Yeah, you're a monster.
You guys are always such good sports about it, though.
One of the most offensive things you've ever said is at least once a day.
What?
You're in there at least three times a day.
I pee a lot. But when I assume when you say you're in there three times a day that you think I'm shitting in there three times a day. I'm not. I shit once a day. Sometimes there's a little left in there. I got to go back for a second round. That's it. I pee a lot because I drink a lot of water and a lot of coffee. Caffeine being a diuretic makes you pee a lot. I'm also on a ketogenic diet, which makes your body hold less water. Did I look this up just for this one time that we were going to talk about this? Sure did.
I'm sure you know so many things about the ketogenic diet.
I do.
Yeah.
I like to pee.
The
problem is I'm always in there after my show, after I read subs, and it's right when you have to get into the bathroom. So I always hear this. Oh,
well, it's because there was one day where you tried to reverse it, He's like, you were like, oh, if someone's coming off a show, the bathroom should be vacant for them. I'm like, no, if that means someone's about to go on a show, it means that that person should get priority.
I'm saying you had 45 minutes minimum.
Listen,
you could have shit during that time.
Here's Nick's thing, right?
Minimum 45 minutes.
And I'm sorry, I have to be here for this drama, Cam.
No, but, you know, it's wonderful.
He saunters in here, gets distracted by a YouTube trailer for a while. Then he's just fucking around on his phone texting somebody. Then he talks to Tim for about bullshit. And then about 10:40, 10:45, he's like, I gotta get some fucking links for this fucking show I'm about to do. Gets those knocked out in literally a minute and a half. Then goes into his office. Shuts the door. Kevin comes by. He's like, all right, guys, time to get on set. And it's Kevin.
That is every morning.
And then Kevin will come back and be like, all right, it's 10:53. He needs to be on set. Then he'll finally get on there. Meanwhile, I'm working. I'm over there cracking rocks. Yeah, all right. I'm reading Jason Schreier stories.
You're doing hard labor, getting
some stuff. I got Andrew Renee in there asking questions. Jared Petty, yak, yak, yak. And while eating a giant piece of ham. Yeah. I deserve the bathroom when I need it before the show.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you do. Your show, Kind of Funny Games Daily, is infinitely harder to do than the morning show, but also less fun.
It's true. We don't have anything coming from the ceiling and stuff like that.
That's true. Yeah. No. I mean, this is the thing where I think this problem could be solved when and if we get a bigger office.
Sure.
We have to have a second bathroom.
Right.
It's going to have a second bathroom.
Right.
Because
well,
I feel
imagine like if we get the boys and girls rooms, you know what I mean?
No,
and
we're
Joey's
not doing
got
that.
Her own room.
We're doing all gender bathrooms at our next place,
like Ellie McBeal.
Yeah, 100%.
God have.
I love Joey to death.
She God have mercy on any female who comes in there.
Oh, dude,
when you and I are going to town on those toilets.
First off, big advocate of equality. B, Joey is the only female that works. It would be a waste of
Andrew?
A bathroom. She's here once a day, once a week, once or
twice a week.
A week,
yeah.
I don't, you know, she doesn't go to the bathroom here. She's disgusted by us.
It's true, actually. I don't know if I've ever seen Andrea use this bathroom.
Why would she?
Check the camera feeds.
I haven't seen Andrea actually touch any surfaces here, let alone go to the bathroom.
She comes on, she's got like a glove she takes off.
Like she doesn't want to have fake handshakes with you. She doesn't have to make contact. Yeah.
I don't know that I have any good answers for you.
No?
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, like the roommate thing, I guess, but like I also, you know, I lived with my mom and brother for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then there was like, maybe like a 9-month period where I had roommates, and I guess it's hard to imagine going back to that.
No, I'm not saying it's bad to have roommates. By the way, I had roommates for a very, very long time.
It's
difficult to me at this point in my life to think, wow, that's
thing
people still
that
like people still do. Mm-hmm. They do that, and I think it's smart. Again, if I were living by myself in the 20s, that would be weird. So you had to do it, but I don't know. I look back. I mean, I hang out with a lot of comics, and so they do a lot of things that I'm like, I don't know if I approve of. Drinking beers every single night that you go to an open mic just to cope.
Are you the dad of the comics? You strike me as the dad.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because now the bartenders at the clubs are learning me. Like they're learning my name and they're learning kind of what I want. And they're weirded out by the fact that I drink coffee instead of anything else. People are like, because you get like, if you go to Punchline, the bartender's usually pretty cool. And he's like, what do you want? You want a beer or something? And I was like, no, man, just a cup of coffee. He's like, you know, it's on me, man. Don't worry about it. I was like, no, still coffee. And he's like, I don't get that. I don't understand.
Dude, I make terrible coffee.
But you know, for me, I just like alcohol. Like a lot of the, like another thing that's weird to me is people smoke still. That's, I haven't smoked in so long that I look and I'm like, oh, right. And like everyone's having these lovely moments together over a cigarette. And I'm like, I will never have that again. Mm. That's not something that I can have.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I would say, like, not necessarily like as in doing things, but I'll go back and listen to songs or watch movies that I used to love and be like, nah.
Nah, doesn't hold up.
This is not as good as I remember it being.
That
or,
sucks.
You know, yeah. Or like listen to a song that I loved when I was a teenager when I was in my really moody phase and just be like, oh, I can't believe I ever liked this.
Weird. The goth phase. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, going back to watch movies you grew up on that you loved or whatever and then like apply the 2018 filter of or a lens of and just be like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, there are so many. They are very not into homosexuals in this movie, right?
Dude, I'm going to tell you what they're I've been watching Friends. Going back and watching Friends. I'm on the 9th season. They make a lot of gay jokes in that. Like, that is like their go-to thing where, like, I'm not gay. Like, and you say it and they say it and you're like, man, that is. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
That was like 2003, 2004 when that show ended. And that was the, like, I can't even imagine a show using the word gay in that capacity as sort of like a weaponized insult towards someone else. Very weird. Yeah. Very, very weird. Yeah. I don't know. That show, by the way, needed to wrap up right around the 9th season. I think it went 10 seasons. So I'm like, I'm just now at this point.
Season 9's where they should have wrapped.
Oh, no. Season, like, probably season 7, but. What's up, Andy?
Well, Andy Cortez, everybody.
Hey, what I miss?
Oh, what? We're doing Game Over Greg Show.
You're still doing it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man.
I actually have to go. I have a call right now, but do you want to step in for me? Do you want to bring... My topic was things that you think
are
weird when you hit 40.
Don't worry. You can do your own topic. You don't have to do his topic.
Things to do when you're 40?
Yeah, things to do when you're 40.
Okay. Honeymoons or...
Why don't you sit here? Sit here.
Okay.
And we'll... I'll be right back. I'll be back
on that. Things to do when you're 40. Go to casinos.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. Andy, what? Here's what we did. That was his topic, right?
Right.
I just fucking one shot at the driver. The car is careening off the ledge. What I want to know is right now, what is Andy Cortez at 40? Pitch me. Where are you living? What are you doing?
What am I doing at 40?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm still out there working for NBA teams, like working out. Show them, like, hey, yes, I'm short. I still got the quickness though.
Sure.
I'm serviceable.
You got heart.
You could still, yes, I've got the heart. That's what matters. Heart and family. Shoot and shot. You could put me in there at any moment. And I just, 3-pointers.
Wow.
Okay. Nothing but net.
Nothing but net, dude. And they don't see the value and the worth in a 40-year-old 3-point shooter who's 5'7".
They don't. They don't. But they would definitely, every team would sleep on you.
And all of them.
What would be beneficial is, since nobody really looks at films of the team they're about to play, like, you know what I mean? You'd come to town and they'd just be like, everybody would just say the same thing. I'm not going to even bother covering this guy.
Yeah, is this a G League player? That's exactly what they call the developmental league.
Sure, sure.
It used to be Bugsy Mose of the...
used to be the D League.
Generation.
Yeah, he was.
What's his name?
What's the D?
Bugsy Mose?
From Space Jam.
Close. Muggs. Well, there's a G in there.
Damn it.
Close, man.
He was in Space Jam.
Yeah. Him and... what's his face?
Patrick Ewing.
Michael Jordan.
Patrick Ewing.
Jordan. Charles Barkley.
Bill Murray.
And Barkley.
Bill Murray.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
That's horrible.
That's my Charles Barkley, man.
All right, so now this doesn't have to be like a, you know, Pagliacci the Clown episode or anything, but really, what are you doing at 40, Andy Cortez?
What am I doing at 40? Yeah.
You married Yves Guillemot yet?
Huh?
You married Yves Guillemot yet?
Yeah, I'd assume I'd be married by then. I don't know. I don't know, man. I didn't know what I'd be doing at 30. Like,
sure. Well, just still like 5 years away, right?
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait to hit 30, man.
It's going to be nice.
The big 3-0.
It's going to be sweet.
I would suspect that I'd be working for...
Don't fucking say it.
No,
he was being sincere for a second. See, like, where he's going.
It wasn't. I'd hope that like all the stars align and finally like I got the call and... It's Adam Kovic on the line, and he's
time to
like,
bring you up from the D-League.
Too long.
Your party mode for Uncharted reboot was great.
I have no idea, because it's like, I think about what we do, and I think that like, wherever I am at that point in time, I think that what I'm doing is not sustainable for whatever reason. Mm. When I was in game development, and I would see all these like talks on how they're creating models from photo-based stuff. And I'm just like, I'm going to be out of a job in like 2 years. Like, this is bullshit. So for some reason, I always think that like that I'm going to be done immediately for whatever reason. So like right now, I love what I'm doing right now, but
Nick's gonna
are people going to watch Let's Plays in 2 years? Like, that's how my mind thinks.
We can adapt. That's the beauty of what we
sure,
do.
Yeah.
We can just do but like still, we want.
But Andy's going to adapt right out the door into a new job.
Sure, but like 6 years ago, all these like new ways of creating 3D models are coming out, and that my mindset back then was like, fuck, we're gonna be out of job. And like, you know, 6 years later, it's still the same shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. My mind's just weird that way. I'm just always thinking about the worst. Mm-hmm. Shark attacks. Mm-hmm.
They are the worst.
How do we protect them?
The sharks.
Yeah.
How do we allow them to do the attacks?
Yeah, we need to make it easier.
How do we protect
it's
attacks?
A food source for them.
Exactly. We need to allow them and just, yeah.
If you go to attack by sharks.
Bro, shark attack.
If you go to attack by sharks, it's like, well, it's nature.
Let it run its course.
Hey, if somebody walked into my house, I'd bite him on the ankle. You know?
That is your number one attack.
Yeah.
Roll out of the bed, bite him on the ankle.
And then
bite.
Just spin. Spin him around.
Well, that's almost like a crocodile attack.
Right. Yeah, they
grab and pull it under. Yeah.
Those videos are fucking horrifying, man. Of those like alligators or crocodiles. I don't know the fucking difference.
Crocodiles have the skinny snout. Alligators have the white snout.
Whatever the ones that grab the fucking elk and just pull them into the water.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
That's got to be the worst way to go.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, I'm just an elk. I'm just chilling near the water.
Man, they're like done. They're like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Alligators?
At the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day,
they're monsters.
It's crazy. Yeah. Them and Komodo dragons.
Yes.
Watching Planet Earth 2. Love that stuff.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
Why am I going to John Gruden?
Why are those damn Komodo dragons always just sitting there and they chill? They look at the camera and they go, and just fucking snot goes everywhere.
Gross.
You nasty
fuckers. It's like the athletes on the side of NFL games where they're like, they do the snot.
They
got to
breathe. I understand that. It's probably the same way for the Komodo dragon.
Really good snot rocket in Hateful Eight. The girl.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, okay.
Remember that part?
That was fine. That was
remember
good.
That
I'll
part.
Take that. I'll take that one.
My girlfriend's Australian, so she lives in a place. Exactly.
Yeah, mate.
You nailed it. Yeah, mate.
Australian, mate.
And she lives in a place where there are these saltwater crocs and, you know, snakes and spiders and these things like eat.
Wait, she lives in Australia still?
She comes from that. She lives in London now. But she comes from, like, her brother used to throw brown snakes at her. And brown snakes are like the third most poisonous snake in the world. Just used to throw them at her for fun because that's what they
but
did.
But why would anybody want to pick one?
But here's the thing. It's like, these things have enough venom in one bite to kill like five full
grown
men.
Yeah.
And it's just like, these things eat mice.
Dude,
why?
Snakes are fucked up too. Because snakes eat the bigger things than you see them inside the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just fucked up.
It's messed up. Scary. Like, but they don't need to be that poisonous, for they're just eating mice.
Right.
You know, it's excessive. It seems excessive to me.
Right. Like, you would think that at some point nature would, you know,
would
dial it back.
Evolution would de-evolutionize them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let them grow some hands.
Just crawling around. Two hands.
And I guess I left off the arms. Yeah, somebody the other day.
Oh, no.
As you're about to walk into a headline I saw somewhere with nothing, no. Yeah, I shouldn't even say it. I don't even know.
Let me hear it.
It was something to the effect of...
We can Google it.
Some... go ahead and Google this, Kev. Some monkey or ape or gorilla. They're like a group of them.
Walking
had
on his feet. Right? That one? That one?
No, had evolved to using like the Stone Age. Like they were using stone. Like they were using stones and shit.
Interesting.
But again, like I said, they can
walk it on his feet.
They can fucking... They can use sign language too, so we have a whole bunch of problems.
Because there's a video of the gorilla who's... didn't want to get its hands wet because it just rained in the zoo.
Yeah.
So it was just like walking on its back legs. And it would do that everywhere because it didn't want to fucking...
Nutcracking monkeys show human-like skills. Is this what you're talking about?
No, it was from... It's a new thing. That's from 2013. Maybe these are the monkeys. They're continuing on their evolutionary path.
They're still going. They're doing DDR and stuff.
Just enjoying himself. Cam, do you want to talk about anything? We brought you on and pinned you down about all the Krypton stuff, but you're actually a fan, I guess. You know what the show is.
I am, yeah.
Usually bring somebody here, Nolan North. They've never heard of this place. They don't know what they're doing.
No, it's awesome to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me. Gosh, what would you guys like to talk about? I should have prepared.
I was just making sure. I mean, we're winding down. I was just making sure. Tim, do you have a topic? Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Oh, no, I thought your topics were good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Here we go. This one from 2018, Monkeys use tools to crack nuts, shuck oysters, says researchers.
Okay.
So, this isn't as in your face as the title
I'm not
I was
as
seeing.
Impressed.
I'm ready for a monkey to talk or something.
Yeah.
I've seen monkeys fucking ride motorcycles and shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I feel
this is nothing.
Like we tools. Don't spend enough time really talking
about
the
monkeys.
Ones who but like really talking about the fact that they can communicate,
yeah.
that they know sign language, that they can speak to us. It would like why like where are all those studies? Like what are they really talking about?
I'm ready
really
to get one of them in the
government's
UN.
Hiding something, awesome. Man.
Yeah, what are they hiding?
Been talking to monkeys for years. What do they know?
they know
what do those monkeys
tell
know?
Me what you know?
I don't know, dude. I always think about like. will we ever get to a point technologically where we understand what these animals are saying to
like
each
Eliza
other?
Eliza Thornberry shit?
Yeah. Like, will we able to...
I mean, we kind of already do. Again, with you can teach a monkey sign language or a gorilla sign language. You figure we know about, like, when they're calling to each other, like whales or whatever, elephants for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, to a point where if you walk into somewhere and... Not somewhere, obviously. Like, you're maybe in the Serengeti or something. You don't just walk in there, guys. But, like, if you're to walk in there and you see that a lion is, like... I'm about to fuck you up because you're kind of in my territory. Mm-hmm. Like, will we ever be able to, like, Google Translate and be like, we're chilling, man. Cool. Hey, my bad.
Because that's not how they act. The fact that we've had fucking house cats for years and years and years and these motherfuckers aren't doing typewriters, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's got to be, you know, they don't know how to use the internet.
Right.
The sign language thing, though, with the monkeys, I know it's the thing that happens. But I don't know much about it. You can talk to the monkeys. Can they talk to you?
Yeah.
You teach them.
They can communicate, like, basically.
The video Coco and Robin Williams. And stuff, which is like Coco sad when Robin Williams died.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. Horrible.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the kitten. Isn't Coco the monkey fucking immortal, right?
No, they told Coco that Robin Williams died.
No, I'm definitely sure that this was the case. I was reading about this.
Yeah.
But it goes...
Coco's in like a rocking chair knitting. Fucking granny lover. Granny gorilla.
They got camera and he's just like, oh, what? He's like, I fucking just talked to him.
Look at the texting. Yeah.
Like, look at his last message. He said, live long.
Are you finding it, Kev?
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah.
How old is Coco? Coco's been around my entire fucking life.
Dude, gorillas live for a long time, man.
Here we go. Who is that? Maria Menudo? Menudo?
Gorillas are fucking scary, man.
Dude, gorillas are horrifying. Remember the story of that monkey that ripped off the girl's face?
Yeah, terrible. Horrible.
Horrifying. She went on Oprah to like show her face. How it looked. God, it was horrifying. Felt so awful.
Yeah, I know. And the whole 911 call of it. Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
It was her friend's monkey. It was her neighbor's monkey that she was like watching over. And the friend left. And then the chimpanzee just went like absolutely bananas.
This is a serious story. This is a serious story. Andy just walked into that by accident.
No. It's a serious story.
It's a real thing. Don't listen to the 911 call. It's very horrible.
Because I saw her on Oprah, and she was like, they're talking about the incident, and she was wearing like a veil the whole time. But you could see underneath the veil, like, something's messed up, and the monkey just ripped her fucking face to shreds.
And then it's the friend in the car calling the police, screaming about
it. The friend got back to see her pet monkey, like, absolutely, like, fucking trying to murder this woman.
It was
just
a little monkey?
It was a chimpanzee. It was not a gorilla. It was
not
a chimpanzee.
Like not like a spider monkey. Like,
no. It was like Planet of the Apes monkey chimpanzee.
See, so I don't trust animals. Like, fuck this shit.
Oh, yeah, they're so strong.
They're so strong. And, like, you can never trust the wild animal because, like, all they are sort of instinct. Yeah. Like, yes, they have emotions, but they're still that primal, like, I don't trust you.
About banana. Fucked up.
I don't even trust real, like, you know, house animals.
No.
Dogs and cats and shit.
No dogs, no cats.
I don't trust them, man.
You don't trust Portillo?
At any moment? No, dude. If Portillo were to fuck me up, he could. It'd be in my sleep, and he'd have to know exactly where I was and how to get up there. But he could.
Lying in Portillo somewhere is a vicious killing machine.
I swear to God.
You see it in the vacant eyes. Yeah.
I was always terrified of cats because my aunt's cat was very, very just a bitch. Like, just a straight up, like, you walked in, like,
they have razor blades on their hands.
Yeah.
Like, that is some fucked up shit.
Cats always scare me as a kid.
And here's the thing.
Just walk around.
Humans are so lame. Like, we are, like, we can think good. That's our superpower.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a cool thing, but we have no claws. We're not strong. We're not very fast. Like, we don't even have a tail. Yeah. Like, we can't all shoot threes. You know? Like,
we got them thumbs, though.
But this is really useful against a lion.
We can gouge him in the eyes. Try our best.
That's all we got. But, like, you are completely hopeless compared to
most animals, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
If I can fuck a fish up. Not all fish.
No, barracudas.
Didn't you guys have a topic? How many raccoons do you think you could take or something like that?
How many kittens? There, we did 5-year-olds and feral cats.
We never did that topic that kind of went viral over the internet several months ago that was like, you get your choice of two. And it was like a group of 6 or 7 things. And it was like 200 rats, 2 elephants.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 lions. 1 hippo, you know, like it was giving you certain, and it was like pick 2 to protect you from the rest of them.
Protect you,
yeah.
Oh,
and so, I think there was like 50 eagles or whatever, And a lot of people were saying that the Eagles would be one of the best things to go for because they could go for the eyes.
Mm-hmm. And also, 50's
once they're blinded,
is it like Ant-Man where I'm communicating to them and they know what's up?
Yeah,
or
are
they just fucking eagles in a tree and I'm getting eaten?
No. They are trained to protect you.
Yeah. You can commune with them like Aquaman does with fish.
Okay,
right.
Good.
Yeah. 50 eagles is a good one because 50 is a large number of eagles.
And I think that's the number. I could be way off. But the groups of animals were really, interesting.
50 eagles, two lions, or what you just said. Those eagles are going to win.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't.
It would take a long time. But
maybe it was 10 or something.
Even with the hippos, right? That's where, hippos.
Hippos are the most fucking dangerous animal
right,
in the world.
Right, but I don't, that many eagles, they're not going to be that, they're going to be that swift.
We might lose 10 of them, right?
Tim, I want you to put this down the idealist too, by the way. I've always said if we could domesticate and make smaller koalas, they'd be a big hit.
They would be huge.
If we could make hippos, but keep them... Portillo size, huge hit too.
Hippos?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Pygmy hippos.
What do you mean, though?
Because hippos, that's like...
they're like pigs.
Pigs.
Yeah, people are
like
pigs.
Like they're cool, but then they get big and...
That's why I'm saying, no, this. I'm going to keep them small.
Like teacup. Live long.
Like teacups. There is a thing called a pygmy hippo. It's about that big, so we just need to go a couple sizes
small. Wait, like that as in from the table to here?
As in like that, they're about this tall.
Okay, from the ground.
Yeah, pygmy hippos. Okay. Yeah. Real thing.
Fucking hippos are scary, man.
When they open their mouths. I'm like, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Those teeth.
Throw the big watermelon in there. Just throw a watermelon at a hippo. That's what they love, man.
They do.
Every video I see of a hippo is like, has a watermelon
Chomping
in it.
Chomping on them goddamn watermelons.
Somehow.
Well, I mean, watermelon is for us as humans, like the test. Can this knife blade cut through it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can this hippo eat it in one bite? Can Gallagher's hammer smash it? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Gallagher. Watermelons are what like unify us all. Is he dead? We find out Coco very much alive, 47 years old.
Is Gallagher dead, Kevin?
Remember, he has a brother, too, so this might require more research than just is Gallagher
Liam
dead.
Gallagher.
No, Liam Gallagher.
Also, did you know Richard Simmons is missing or whatever? He's, like, dropped off the face of the earth. He's not missing, but he's, like, dropped out of, like, complete. He stopped doing everything, apparently. He stopped doing his aerobics class.
Well, apparently he was, like, kidnapped, and people were... Not kidnapped, but, like, they were kind of... It's weird, dude. This fucking Richard Simmons story is very
There's
odd.
A podcast about it.
He was like living with people and they were not allowing him to talk to anybody.
Gallagher alive. Gallagher's alive, everybody.
Gallagher's alive.
Now, here's my question.
Home for smashing watermelons.
Thank God.
How do we get Gallagher and Nick Scarpino on the same comedy ticket?
That's a big question.
We can make it happen.
The Twitter. I learned of Gallagher from Family Guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this man.
I'm with you.
I never knew
he was.
Who
he was
in a bit
family guy because he smashed watermelons with a hammer, and he made a career out of this. I know. Now keep in mind, video games in their infancy, movies kind of suck.
People didn't have too much going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Watermelons are very physical when you look at them. Like
Kevin punched
them exploding. Kevin.
Oh, have you ever seen that thing? Like there's
sorry, karate chopped it.
Yeah.
There's a gnarly video. There's a really gnarly video online. I think it was some reality TV show where they were testing a catapult, and you've seen this, and this woman like pulls it back, and it gets flipped when it's in there. It comes straight back out of smack, and I was thinking watermelons like are hard.
Yeah. Oh my god,
that would require facial reconstruction. That's got to be really gnarly.
Broken nose.
Yeah,
I broke my nose. Still broken.
When did you break your nose?
When I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
And I never got it fixed because I was terrified.
Around?
Huh?
Does it still move around or anything?
You can if you poke this, it goes tick 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 tick. There's like a little clicking noise.
That's a good beat.
You want to feel it?
Sure.
I'm not gonna put it in. Don't worry.
I don't like it.
I don't like that at all. It's like when you pop a water bottle.
Yeah. So I was in little league, and I thought, I think we were doing like scrimmages or whatever during practice, and I was playing shortstop, and the batter looked like he was gonna bunt, right? You know what a bunt is?
Scrimmages took some deciphering because I thought you said scrimmages. I was like, I don't know this. I don't know this.
The old scrimmages.
Scrimmages.
Nobody can see it, but there's that woman getting destroyed. Race watermelon face.
So I thought the guy was going to bunt, and I ran up thinking that like the ball was going to like barely trickle. So I was like, let me go get this fucking bunt. And then he pulled back and rat, fucking like hit the shit out of it. And so I'm running towards the ball I think is going
to... No.
And I caught enough of it with my glove, but it hit the tip of my glove and then hit me right the fuck here. And it was just like... Doo-doo. I was like, And then, like, all I remember is looking down and seeing just, like, a waterfall of blood.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
Yeah.
Like, you open a faucet. It was insane. Yeah. And then I went to the doctor, and the doctor was, like, doing all these, like, fucking tests, and And he'd be like, does it hurt when I do this? And I was so scared and I kept saying no.
Why? And I was are you trying to act tough?
Because I didn't want to get surgery. I didn't want to, you know, like I thought I was going to have to go under the fucking bucket. Under the knife.
Under the bucket.
Under the bucket.
Put this bucket over your head.
We operate with buckets in this hospital.
Yeah, under the knife in the bucket.
Okay.
So that's what I thought was going to happen.
So you faked it.
How old were you?
Faked it. I was like maybe 11, 10.
Yeah, that's totally understandable.
Something like that. I was terrified.
Did you tell anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's that thing, too, like, when you're a kid, like, when something bad happens, like, your parents freak out or whatever, like, even if you've hurt yourself, you're worried you get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, so I've had that happen to me before, where I've been like, oh, no, I'm like, no, I'm okay, I'm fine.
I'm just hanging on, just because it's just like,
I can snap it back.
Yeah.
It'll be, like, because you just don't want people to be freaking out about it.
It's like when my mom was on the treadmill, and my hand got caught between the treadmill and the basketball. And so my mom was like just kind of jogging in the garage and I was dribbling a basketball prepping for my future. And the ball rolled towards the treadmill, put my hand on it, and the treadmill sucked the ball in with my hand on it.
Oh, dude.
And the treadmill was just like shaving the top of my hand.
God.
And
damn.
I was like yelling at my mom, turn off the machine. Like I pulled my hand out, just super bloody. And I was like apologizing. She's like, no, don't. Why are you apologizing? I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, my hand was just all red and shit.
Kids are dumb, man.
Yeah, dude.
So how long did you, before you told your parents your nose was broken? Like you went home a couple of weeks later?
No, I mean, I think. Oh, wait, what do you mean?
He kept poking your nose and saying, does this hurt? And you kept saying no.
Oh,
so did you fake out the doctor or just get out?
I faked it out, yeah. Faked him out. Fucking juked him. I was like, I'm going right, crossover.
You're like, fucking idiot. I don't need any nose surgery. No buckets for me today.
Yeah. So, like, my nose is crooked. It, like, goes this way to the right a little bit.
If you'd only made it to a bucket in time.
You would have been
story all together.
Story all together.
When I was really little, like probably like six, I had rollerblades on because it was the 90s.
Sure.
And my dad would ride his bike, and I would hold on to the thing like under
the
his seat.
Yeah.
And so like just like fucking like Back to the Future style.
Was it the Bush administration that made everybody wear rollerblades in the 90s?
That was a decree. Yeah.
Or skates.
Right. Yeah, that's
if
true.
If you so chose.
That's true.
And we were going, and I hit this little like bump, and I fell, and then my arm fat got caught in the wheel, and it was so bad. It was so fucking bad. My dad totally blamed me. Fuck that guy.
That's funny. Yeah. I like that one a lot. Yeah, you hurt yourself in dumb ways as a kid.
A lot of dumb ways.
Yeah, yeah. The only time I've ever had the uncontrollable nosebleed you're describing, of course. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Bring it to me, Joey, and I'll finish this story, and I'll finish this episode. Oh, really?
Well, you and Nick happened too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have no idea what this is then. Okay. We have something here. We have packages and all of us got
it
them.
Has a
Pro Flowers?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to that in a second then.
What?
When I would, the only nosebleed, uncontrollable nosebleed story I have is that when we were backyard wrestling, as one does, I have a problem sometimes, Andy, and I don't know if you've noticed, is that I like to take, I think I've gotten better about it. I like to take, you know, the personal details of a person and then use them in the act, right? You know what I mean? Take things, pull from real life, they say. Mm-hmm. You let that influence. Mm-hmm. You were both actors. You understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Use what you know.
And so I did this with Poe, and I might have taken it too far in a promo I was cutting, at which point Poe got really mad at me and came over and threw me down. And then he was like mad. Like, he didn't throw me down like to try to end the bit I was doing, but then he stumbled and fell, and his entire hip bone came across my nose.
Ooh.
And I sat back up, and it was like Undertaker. It was like this.
Nice.
And it's like, I'm still like getting up ready to keep going with the promo, and I do that and everyone flips out because it was the first time somebody had been like really hurt. Like there was obviously a problem. All the other injuries had been very, you didn't know till the match was over that this guy almost got paralyzed. But at that moment, we all knew it was too much.
It's a different time.
I was on the boxing team at Trinity for about 3 minutes because I made the team. And then I told my mom, hey, I made the team. And then she's like, no, you didn't. You're quitting immediately. I was like, fair enough. She's like, you want to be an actor? Maybe you shouldn't break your face.
Good call.
I was like, good call, man.
Definitely a good
but
call.
I did get punched in the face a few times, and your nose bleeds.
Like, yeah,
wow,
right?
Wow, when you get hit in the face.
So we got a box here to finish off the show.
One of my brother's friends broke his nose in a tickle fight with another one of his friends. Yeah. They were 16.
Tickle fights?
Wait, what?
Cool.
Cool Greg broke his... What?
Two of Cool Greg's friends got in a tickle fight.
We were wrestling.
I suppose I could have helped with you.
No, I got it. Oh, I just asked Joey to get Joey a season pass for Far Cry. There's one in here. We'll give it away for some. Or not a season pass. Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Got our Far Cry 5 baseball bat. Ready to go.
Is this what you were expecting?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that is oddly specific.
As a teaser for other kind of funny videos to come, I've ordered something else extremely long. Kevin is the only person in the office who knows because I looked at a site and I said to Kevin, you remember this on Friday? It was just you and me. I said, Kevin, do you think we need blank for the office and I should use the corporate card for this? And you said yes, and I ordered it.
What is it?
Kevin's like, I'm not going to tell you. It'll show up one day and you'll know. This is a real bat, though.
That is awesome.
America's pastime.
Weird ass shit you get in the video game industry. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Game Over Greggy Show. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table, each bringing a random topic discussion for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get each and every episode early, starting for just a buck. But if you have no money to toss our way, no big deal. The entire show posts 1 week after it goes up on Patreon, the following Friday, on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can get all sorts of cool stuff there. Not party mode, but it's on games. People know about
it's
it.
It's on games, man. People get it. It's on games, dude. $1.
Cameron.
Greg.
We love you.
Love you too, man.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so awesome.
Thank you for being a best friend. Like you've honestly been there for a long, long time. We've seen you for a long, long time.
Dude, it's the least I can do. You guys make awesome content. Like one of the first things I said to you when you hit me up was, what you guys do isn't just kind of funny. It's kind of beautiful. It's really, really important what you guys do. Hey, you celebrate friendship, and that's awesome.
That's what it's all about, man. Everybody watch Krypton. When's it on Sci-Fi?
Yes, Wednesday at 10, 9 central, only on Sci-Fi.
And what I we didn't talk about in this show, but I love it. It's only 10 episodes.
It's 10, 9 central, yes. Yes. Yeah, we do care about central, yeah. yes. So, yes, it is only 10 episodes. It's only 10 episodes. Narratively, it's a very tight story.
And yeah.
There's a great story to tell now, though.
Okay. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.